This morning and have not heard, my wife and I, we've decided to retire from the pastoring. I don't mean I'm going to quit preaching or anything. And this is sort of a hard day because tonight I'm going to turn in my six-week notice and then Brother Knight will be taking over. And I feel good that him and Brother Aaron will do a great job in the future. And we'll see some great and mighty things. I don't believe the greatest days of Victory Baptist Church are already happened. I believe the greatest days are those to come. And so I'm looking forward to seeing and being a part of the future here at the church. And I hope and pray that you will certainly work to that end yourself. Now, this morning, let me say that Brother Don read to us out of the book of 1 Peter. I like the book of 1 Peter, and I especially love the verse that I wanted to use for the text, which was, if you'll notice in your Bible, verse 23. And here's what it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, the verse that we have been using for our primary text in this series is found in the book of John chapter 5. And the first three words are what we've been using, search the Scriptures. And today, this will be the seventh message in this series, and we're talking about searching the Scriptures to see and understand God's seed. God's seed. Something that I myself, it took a long time, even in my early days in the ministry, I was not able to latch on or to see and understand just how important it was for a Christian to know that God works by seed. God works by seed. You see, God set in the beginning a law in motion. And that motion would, a seed would produce after its kind. I'm going to ask you to turn over to Genesis chapter 1, if you will. We'll have just a little scripture reading here. Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to begin with verse 11 and verse 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herbs yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the trees yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now I want you to come down, if you will, to verse 20. Down to verse 22, here's what it says. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundant, the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created the great whales, an ever-living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and ever-winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now I want you to come down with me to verse 24. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, we've just read a portion of scriptures that tell us that God placed in plant life a seed that will produce after its kind. He also tells us here that he has placed a seed in the animals and the fowl of the air and the fishes in the sea that will bring forth after his kind. After his kind. Now, there in verse 24, he talks about the animals again and the beast of the field and so on. So we know that these creatures bring forth after their kind. This right here ought to be enough to prove that evolution is a lie, because you've never seen a bird bring forth a fish. A bird brings forth a bird. And so on. Now, we see that in the grass, in the fruit trees, in the herbs, they all have seeds in them. We see in the animal life and the fish in the sea that their seed produces after their kind. Now, this is also true with man. Would you look down at verse 26 in your Bible? And he said, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. Created He him male and female, created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now notice this next verse. "And God said, Behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." That word meat there simply means for food. For food. So what we have here is a law that God has set down in the Scripture, and this law is continuing even unto this day. When you planted your garden this spring, what do you expect? You expect whatever seed that you placed in the ground to yield more of that kind. More of that kind. Not the seed, but whatever that seed represents. If it's a corn seed or if it's a watermelon seed, you don't expect a vine to produce a bunch of other seeds, but you expect it to produce watermelons, and those watermelons have its seed in itself. Now, God will work by seed until the end. Let me read a verse to you. Listen, listen, listen. Genesis 8:22. These words, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Our text that we read this morning simply said, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Peter is telling all of us that God's word is a seed, and he says it's an incorruptible seed, meaning that it is perfect and will produce what was intended. And when you and I hear the Word of God, what is the purpose? Its purpose is to bring us to Christ, that we might be born again, might be saved, and also that the Word might produce in us a Christian life that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit now, because even God Himself has to go by His own laws. And so when it came time for God to bring a Savior into this world, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and the Holy Ghost placed in Mary the seed of God. And when her baby was born, He was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God. Amen and amen. So God works by this principle of seed, harvest. When you plant seed, you expect to have a harvest. Now, I want to get us a little bit better footing here on this. So take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. As you know, when you turn there, you will remember that we have looked at this parable numbers of times in the last 6 months here at the church. It is very important that you and I grasp this parable that He has for us here in the Scripture. I want you to notice why it is important for you to understand, to get a hold of the truth that this parable presents. Look at verse 13, if you will. Verse 13. "And He said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" The reason preachers preach so much out of this portion of Scripture is that if you do not understand, if you do not comprehend this parable, you have no way of understanding the other parables. Look at that verse again. "And He said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" So we have to understand this parable if we are to understand the rest of them in our Bible. Now, church, you need to take some time to study this parable. You need to not only read it, but you need to meditate on it. You need to study it out. And it will reveal things to you that will help you when you're reading other portions of Scripture in your Bible. Now, we notice that the people had gathered by the seaside. Notice that there in verse 1, "And He began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto Him a great multitude. So He entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." You see, I have helps this morning in this church. I have a microphone, we have an amplifier, we have speakers. In other words, I can talk and probably everybody can hear me in the building. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ out there in the countryside by the Sea of Galilee? And there's a great multitude of people that have gathered to hear Him. Now, in order for Him to be heard, Jesus did something very wise in this Scripture right here. Notice what it says, "Unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." As the current comes into the shore, the breeze brings in. So Jesus is sitting in this boat out there a little ways in the water, and the multitude is gathered up on the land, and as He speaks, His voice is carried up there to the multitude, and they all hear what He has to say. So Jesus was very wise in using this method. I've read some stories about great preachers in the past that did not have the advantage of a microphone, and they too used many different things to elevate their voice to where the people could hear them well. Now, notice if you will there in verse 2 of that chapter that the Bible says He taught them by parables. I want to begin reading, if I may, down in verse 3. Verse 3. He says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony ground, where it was not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of the earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it hath no roots, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground." Now get a hold of this. This is the part that you and I need to get a hold of. Because in this story, remember what a parable is? A parable is a normal story that reveals a spiritual truth. A spiritual truth. So he says in verse 8, "And others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Other words, it was able to produce and bring forth because it was placed in the good ground, the good ground, and we'll find out what that is in just a moment. So we have these verses from 3 down to verse 8. Now, he closes this sermon in a very unique way. Notice what he says there, if you will, in verse 9. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear. Now, if Pastor Knight will be coming tonight and say he preaches a message tonight, a good message from the Bible, he closes his Bible and he makes this statement, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. You know, someone may go home and say, dear God, did we call this man to be our new pastor? Because that makes no sense. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We all got ears this morning. Some ears are bigger than others. We've all got ears. I got big ears, but I'm hard of hearing. Amen. I look at my ears sometime and I think I'm Obama. You ever notice how big his ears are? Now, listen to me now. Listen to me. Something I learned a long time ago in the church. Not all will hear. Some of you this morning will not hear this message. You're sitting here. You're in this building. The words are coming out. And probably you are hearing the amplification of them. But you will go home and said, my, that message did not make any sense to me. That's why Jesus said to the people now, he that hath ears, let him hear. Now, someone probably, you know, went away from that service that day and probably met some friends and they probably said, well, what did Jesus preach about this morning? And he said, well, Jesus talked about agriculture, farming, planting, and so on like that. Because that's all he got out of that message. That was the whole contents of it for him. It was about planting seed. But he didn't understand what it was really saying there in the Scripture. If you get down to verse 14 in your Bible, you will notice the Bible says now, because something has happened. Something has happened. Notice he says, the sower sowed the word. So we know right away that the seed was the word of God. The word of God. Just like that seed that brings forth salvation, my friends, it's planted in somebody and it produces a relationship with God. Now, there's something I need to amplify here to you. So go with me to the book of Romans, if you don't mind. The book of Romans, chapter 10. Chapter 10. See, this Bible is God's Word. We know that. But I want you to notice something that must happen if people are to be saved. True, there's a Bible in the land. But this Bible in the land is not going to guarantee people being saved. Look, if you will, at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, here's the verse. You've got to get this in your spirit. You've got to hear it. You've got to hear it. Let it get in there. And digest this verse because it will help you. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, if people are going to be saved, if people are going to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith in Him, they have to hear the Word of God. In order for them to hear the Word of God, there has to be a preacher that proclaims that Word. Now, here we come down to the verse that this church amplifies every Sunday, it seems like. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can I make a statement to you? Nobody gets saved apart from the Word of God. You can't tell somebody just a little sad story and expect them to get saved. People have to hear the Word of God, because if you do not give them the Word of God, faith cannot come. So that's why we have to present the Word to people that they might be saved. I want you to say this with me. Say it out loud. Say it like you're not embarrassed. The seed is the Word. One more time, the seed is the Word. So I want you, every time you look at your Bible, every time the preacher gets up and reads the Bible, every time you read it for yourself, I want you to think this way. This is the seed of God. This is God's seed for you and I. Now, church, why does this seed work? Well, the seed will produce after its kind. If this is God's Word, it will produce after God. You and I will become a child of God. If you want some beans, you have to plant a bean seed. If you want some watermelon, you must plant a watermelon seed. The Bible tells us God's Word is just like a seed. It has to be planted, and if we'll take care of that ground that that seed is in, then that seed will produce wonderful, wonderful salvation for an individual. So if I'm going through a financial hardship, I doubt if any of us are, because we're the elite here in the building. Amen? No, I tell you what, even in this church right here, people have a financial hard times at times. Now, there's lots of things that I could say about that, but I just want to say something here that relates to this sermon right here. Now, I want you to understand that you have to take the whole Word of God into consideration. But if you're having a financial hard time in your life, then what you need to do is get a hold of some seed. That's what you need to get a hold of, some seed. You need to go to the Word of God and maybe take a verse like this. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I am old. I can relate to that. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, you know I hear it all the time. Preacher, I want a job. That's a good statement to make. Preacher, I want a job. Well, sure you do. That's why you never look for one. Or you go out looking for one and you look like you've been sleeping in your clothes and a little soap and water would do you good, my friend. And even getting a haircut might help. But you want a job. But yet you do not present yourself. You do not conduct yourself. You do not do what you need to do to make a good impression where somebody might want to hire you. You need to do your part. In fact, you might need to go to school at night. Learn something besides eating. We've all got that down pretty good. But if you want to eat, you need to make money. And the only way you can make money is get a job. God is not going to rain money down from heaven to put in your pocket. If God did, it would be counterfeit and would be no good. But God's plan for you to have your needs met is for you to plant seed and then water that seed, cultivate that seed, take care of that seed, do what you're supposed to do, and then that seed will produce whatever that seed represents. You will never have anything until you get the seed into your heart. A Bible on your coffee table doesn't help. A Bible on your dashboard doesn't help. Leaving your Bible here at the church where you'll have one when you come next Sunday doesn't help. If you want to plant a seed, you've got to get the seed in the good ground And the good ground is your heart. Your heart. Listen, do you know this? Everything that's in our life comes out of our heart. There's nothing that's going on in your life right now that did not come out of your heart. It came out of your heart. And you need to recognize that. I've got the word on that. Proverbs 23 verse 7, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Can you see yourself out of debt? Well, if you can see yourself out of debt, one day you will be out of debt. But if you don't ever see yourself out of debt, you'll stay in debt the rest of your life. Can you see yourself married? A lot of young people want to get married. Never figured that out yet, but you want to get married. My friends, if you cannot see yourself married, and if you're going to look for a husband or a wife, look for one that is a biblical person. In other words, one that you are qualified to marry. Look for somebody that's got some common sense. Why do these girls always go for these nuts? I mean, they go for these guys that lay around and let them support them. They lay around on these couches and do nothing while the wife goes out and works. If you're going to get married, marry a man. Because a man that won't provide for a wife is not a Bible man. No, sir. So, can you see yourself with a job? If you can see yourself with a job, you'll get a job because you'll do all the things that you need to do to make sure that you qualify to get a job. One more thing I want you to see. I have hit this in the past. But you know, every preacher probably has days like that. That is, I preached on this one time some time ago, but I left church. And in my spirit, I felt like nobody heard what I said. And I've been troubled by that. So I want to come back to it this morning. And I want to try it again. I hope that every one of us in this building will get a hold of this principle, because without it, you don't have any hope. Without it, you don't have any hope. Now listen to me. If you want to be a good electrician, what would you have to do? You'd have to go to an electrician school. Now, I'm a pretty fair electrician. I wired my house. I put the electricity into my house from the pole all the way in. Wired every plug, every place in it. I did the job. I didn't go to electrician school, but I worked on a job when I was younger. And in that job, I had to be an electrician. I had to wire up things. I had to fix the lights. I had to do those kind of things. So I got a pretty good understanding of how to put electricity in. So, if you're going to be an electrician, if you're going to be a welder, you have to learn to weld. If you're going to be a doctor, don't you have to go to school to be a doctor? If you're going to be like Brother Woodson over here, be a professor, are you going to have to go to school? Yes, you are. You know that. You know that. And so, my friends, you're going to have to get a hold of this truth. And you don't have to go to college. You don't have to do nothing but open your heart and let it become a part of you. And then it will open doors for you in the days to come. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew chapter 17. The book of Matthew chapter 17. Okay. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right. Now, I want you to look at this verse 20. So come down to verse 20. Here's what it says. "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief." There's the problem we people have, including myself. "He said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I want you to notice here, because sometimes when we read a verse, we read it in such a way that we don't grasp exactly what Jesus wants us to get a hold of. You notice in this verse He says, if you have faith. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, you have faith. If you are here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we've given you enough Bible this morning, and that Bible is what causes you to have faith, and that faith will cause you to put your faith and trust in Jesus and go home saved. So, we have faith this morning. Faith is a wonderful thing. I tell you what, I remember almost to the day when faith became something I grasped just a little bit of, and how it changed my whole life. I was in the state of Oklahoma at that time preaching a revival meeting. And God, during that meeting when I was in the motel, He began to open up and show me that I needed to have faith in my life. Now, I've always said I had faith, and I certainly did have a measure of faith, but did I have the kind of faith that could do the impossible? Did I have the kind of faith that could work miracles? Did I have that kind of faith? I really didn't. But I began to study, and for about 2 years in Denver, Colorado, you can ask Laurel here because she was in the church during those days, I preached on faith more than any charismatic preacher has ever preached on it in his life. I preached faith after faith after faith after faith. Why? Because I was trying to build my faith as I was trying to build the faith of the people in that church. Now, let's notice what He says in this verse of Scripture. He says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Now, when you read that right off the bat, you begin to think, if I had faith like a little bitty mustard seed. The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds on the earth. If I had faith just the size of a mustard seed, then I could remove mountains. And some of you are saying, boy, I can't even get an ant bed out of my yard. And I'm trying to have faith to move mountains? You know why you're thinking that way? It's because you're looking at this verse in a way that God never intended for you to look at it. Notice again, He says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, I want you to leave that word mustard out of there. Because the word mustard only gives a description of the seed. God is not trying for you to look at a mustard seed. God is trying to show you that if you have faith as a grain of seed. Seed is one of the most predictable things on this earth. They have found in the pyramids over there where they buried these kings over there in those tombs. They have found seed in those tombs that was hundreds and hundreds of years old, and they took it and planted it, and it produced. A seed will produce, because a seed will produce after its kind. After its kind. What God wants you to see is that you're supposed to have faith that is compatible to a seed, because a seed will produce. It will bring forth that which needs to be brought forth. So when I heard the Word of God, that seed that I heard sprang forth and I became a child of God. So this morning, if you're a Christian, you've got faith. Stop comparing your faith to something else. Just compare it to a seed and let your faith work like a seed works. What do? With a seed? You go out. Here in this part of Texas, it's pretty hard to find some good ground. But there's a few places around. You stir that ground up. You clean it up. You get the grass out of it. Get the rocks out of it. And you plant your seed in that good ground. You fertilize it. Take the weeds out as it grows. And that seed comes up and produces whatever that seed is. That's what God says His Word can do. So if I need finances, why don't I go to this seed right here? If I need a better marriage, why don't I go to this seed right here and find what the seed said? If I need to raise my children in a better manner, in a godly way, then I go to this Bible and take out some seed that has to do with raising children. I put that seed down in me. I take care of that seed. I meditate on that seed. I practice what I should. And sure enough, your children come up. They're not perfect, but I'll guarantee you, God has a chance with them. My wife and I have three children. No, I can't take any glory out of this. But my wife, every day, before they went to school, she placed seed in them. And she prayed over them. And today, all of my children are serving God. All are active in a church. Why? Because of the seed. The seed. If you've got runaway children, then it's because they've not been able to get the seed. The seed. Plant the Word in them. Let me tell you something here. You don't plant seed in the winter time. You don't plant seed out of season. When is the season to plant seed in your children? In the early days of their life. Plant it when they're young, when they're tender, when they can receive it. And let that seed grow and keep nurturing it and keep taking care of it and keep talking to them and praying with them. And then that seed will come up. I remember, I don't have time for this illustration, but I won't tell you anyhow. But I remember years ago in Fairbanks, Alaska, my daughter, Glenda, was in the high school there. She's the only one of my children that graduated out of a public school. The rest graduated out of a private school. But anyway, she was in this Lathrop High School there, and she had a P.E. class, and what they wanted her to do was to put on a bathing suit and go out there and swim with the boys at P.E. She told her teacher, "I'm not going to do it." He said, "It's because your daddy is a preacher, huh?" They knew I was a preacher because I was on television there in that town. They knew what I stood for. And they said to her, "You're saying this because your daddy is a preacher." And she looked that teacher right in the eye, and she said, "No! I'm doing this because it's my belief that I'm not supposed to parade myself around in front of boys." He gave her excuse for it. She had to do some other things for him, but she graduated her class. That was her conviction, not mine. And if you teach a child rightly, they'll have convictions on their own. Because you can't live off of your daddy's convictions. You won't stand up. You won't be strong enough. It's got to be part of them. So the Word of God produced in that situation. Listen, friends, I'm glad this morning that God, a number of years ago, showed me that this is God's bag of seed right here. I'm going to continually take this seed out and plant it in my heart. Because your heart is the good ground that will produce. And you can have a rich, full, wonderful life if you will start planting seed in your heart. Go to a church where they preach this book right here. Associate yourself with people that believe this book right here. You can't run with the world and expect to be godly. You're going to be worldly if you run with the world. So associate yourself with God-fearing. Associate yourself with the Word. Be a part of a church where they believe this book. And stand on it. And watch your crop come up. And you will rejoice in what God has done in your life. It begins with salvation. And it will mature into every aspect of your life. You can do and have what God wants you to have. But you've got to go by the seed. You can't expect somebody to give it to you. You've got to go by the seed. Plant your seed. Plant your seed. Plant your seed. I said this one time before in the sermon. Don't eat your seed. Plant your seed. Let's all stand to our feet, if you will. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I want you to know that I appreciate every one of you. And I want you to know I don't say things in this pulpit to be hard or to be cruel to you. I say what I say because I want your life to be blessed. I want you to be a blessed person. Enjoy things. This morning you may be in this building, you don't have a church home. You're going to have to make a decision right there. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't disobey God. And the first thing God tells you after you get saved is get baptized and find you a local assembly. Get into it and begin to serve God. And then stay faithful. Stay faithful to this seed right here. Stay faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that, Father, we have this wonderful book. God, you have gone to a lot of trouble to make sure that we understand this book. God, you said in your Word, you've given us certain men that they might expound on the Word of God, that we might be equipped. We might be perfect. We might be equipped to live the Christian life. God, there are folks right here in this building today that have got needs in their life. God, I pray in the name of Jesus this morning, you will have them reach into this seed bag of God's Word and grab that rhema Word that they need and place it down in their heart and take care of it. Meditate on it. Water it. Speak it, confess it, and God, watch that seed grow. And then, God, one day, there'll be a smile on their face because they'll see the manifestation of that seed. God, I pray you'll bless people today. I know people hurt. I know people have troubles. I know people are going through a lot today. God, I just pray for them. God, I pray for them. Nobody can help them but theirself. God, help them to get a hold of the seed that can bring life into their life. God, I pray that you'll watch over these people now as they seek to do your will. Let the Holy Spirit have freedom here this morning. And let folks come. Find them a place on these altars. And Father, just open up their heart. God, I pray that they'll just say something like this. Father, I need that Word. I need that seed today. God, show me where to go. Help me to understand. And God, help me to grasp the truth of the Bible. Father, I pray that you'll bless this invitation. Lift up that one that's weary. God, strengthen that one that's down today. God opened the eyes of that one that needs to see there's a way to have a better life. God bless that one that needs a church home. And God certainly bless that one that needs to say, Father, I'm a sinner, and today I want to receive You into my heart. Save me. Save me. God bless this invitation. I put it in Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.